This podcast is given to you by Arloka David Smith, teacher and founder of the Dharma Mind Buddhist Group. For more information, please go to dharmamind.net.
Well, yesterday I focused pretty much on the blue sky, the concept of the blue sky, and try to remind you some of the characteristics of this image of the blue sky, and that it's just not like this blue sky here now, which is something quite very lovely, nice and warm and lovely, but quite obviously quite benign. It has those qualities, but also it has a lot of other qualities too. It has a lot of, I like to call it the dharmic environment, like a workspace, as it were, in inverted commas, a place where you can make use of the stillness which characterizes the blue sky, the stillness, the openness, the no-thingness, that vast space that when you experience it, when you look at it, you see that it actually has no outer limits. You can't touch the outer limits. You can't go beyond its form, because actually it isn't a form. All forms have got limits. That's why they're called forms, or objects. Things have an outside and some sort of a shape. So they're limited, and that sort of characterizes our mind, our thinking mind, and all the objects that exist within it, and all the objects that we experience outside of that. They're all limited. They've all got limitations in some way. They're called dharmas, things. But when you come to your blue sky, you can't put that in one of those boxes or in that box. So immediately you're being introduced to something that's quite unique, that you're not familiar with, that you don't know, because there isn't anything else that you will experience that is in its essence is limitless. And as we were saying yesterday, is for us to begin to realize the potential of that stillness, of that peace, and that openness that we can touch. That we can touch it on our cushion. We can touch it in our life, and anybody, and most people, touch it in their lives at some point, maybe quite regularly. But the understanding of that experience and its potential passes us by. We don't give it any. Oh, this is nice, and it's just another thing that you experience. But for us, it's so important to realize that this is the threshold of where change takes place, of where we go beyond, where we can go beyond the conditioned dualistic world, the samsaric world, into that experience that has no parameters, that is not limited. And if it's not limited, it's not part of the characteristics of all objects, of all things, of impermanence and of dukkha and of not self. That characteristic of things that come to be and cease to be. We transcend into that part of us that is outside of all of what we are familiar with. We touch it, and we must begin to appreciate where we are at what we are experiencing. For us people who are practicing the Dhamma and have this particular type of practice, because we have nothing else to be busying ourselves with, nothing else to focus on, nothing else to develop. We must see this is the place to be as much as we possibly can, and when we're there, to open up to its potential, that it's not just a nice quiet place to abide and to enjoy and then to withdraw from. That's the first taste that you will get of it, that characteristic there of that peacefulness, of that leaving your world behind, if only for a few seconds. And for us to resist the temptation of just indulging in that experience, but rather see it as a springboard, see it as a step, as the first step into its full potential. There are plenty in Buddhism that will see that as their goal, as the place to go, where they can find that no thingness, and just experience it as it is, not see it as a springboard for a springboard so for, that we can use to get to know ourselves, and to, when we get to know ourselves, to let go of this thing that we're holding on to, so that we then transcend even more into that open space, where we're no longer being impeded and pulled back. There are those that will just take that first step and indulge and have no aspiration to go beyond. And that's a great temptation. That's called samadhi, if you like. It's where absorption can be, a taste of absorption, where people can indulge. But whatever their motivation is around that experience, it is very worldly, and there's no wisdom there. But for us, it's, if you like, it's like a springboard. So when we touch that, when we begin to get that experience in our training, however long it takes us to come to that place, realize that there's more to this. It can be a lovely release, a nice break from your normal chattering mind. But realize that this is the space where liberation takes place, can take place, and does take place. And therefore it's something for you to aspire to more and more, and realize, and to bring that stillness more and more. And for a lot of us, that will be an ideal, an aspiration that many of us will find very difficult to actually experience. But those of us that can, it has so much potential for us from that place. But before we can get to that place, there is also opportunity for us to get to know ourselves, and it's almost like the approaches, if you like. We can also make use of the approaches to the stillness. To have stillness in our daily life, to be able to be truly with what is in front of us, does not come easy. And some of us will find that quite a rare experience. But that doesn't exclude us. That doesn't marginalise us or takes us out of the insight process. Insight is that which brings change, which brings transformation. So because we're not quite ready to experience that spaciousness, and does not mean to say that we are then excluded from this training. And we all of us are not in that space a great deal of the time, but we are generally a lot of the time, shall we say, in the approaches. The approaches means that where we are aware of ourselves, where we do have awareness, where we can bring awareness to our daily life, where we can begin to get to wake up to ourselves, the way we caught our habits, the things that we chase. Could you try and sit a bit still? You look really, you know, it's very difficult for you. You'd like to sit at the back or something. Yesterday was the same. It's very distracting for me. That I'm always bringing this to you, that the blue sky is a great aspiration for us, but it's something that many of us have got a lot of work to do, shall we say, a lot of training to do, in order that we can, that it's something that we can start to become familiar with. But what we can do in the meantime is not feel ourselves excluded from this path of transformation, is that we can learn to reflect, learn to be aware of ourselves in our daily lives. On the cushion, where it is marginally easier, but in our daily lives, rather than be completely mindless, completely not present, but to commit ourselves to just coming back to ourselves as much as we possibly can in our daily lives, in our comings and goings, in our daily experiences, and just begin to wake up to our habits and the things that we're caught by and the things that we chase. This we all need to do, all of us. However many years you've been doing this, and however settled you are within the training, however you get to see yourself, that this is the basis for all of us. And in this way, it embraces all of us. It's easy to get carried away and begin to describe experiences that some people will always have great difficulty in having that as a personal experience. But before we can get to that, there is that commitment that we can all bring to the training, and without commitment it's not going to happen, is to as much as we can come back to ourselves on a daily basis and become alive to our habits, to the way that we manipulate our way through life, without any great concentration, without any great, just that self-awareness that we've all got, but to make use of it. When you self-awareness can take you in different directions and can actually be quite negative. But for us to have that self-awareness more into our life, where we can just begin to observe ourselves, begin to see ourselves like a mirror, just to know ourselves without engaging in the situation, without having opinions about our habits, but rather being able to observe ourselves and to just begin to get inroads into the way that we are and the way that we create stuff for ourselves. And this is for all of us. It was however long you've been doing this training. This is the first step. And in many ways, I mean, this is the first step and the last step. It's all about polishing. It's all about becoming more and more aware. And the blue sky does seem to suggest a mature state of being. But that mature state of being, in essence, is no different than the first day that you come to this training, i.e. you wake up to yourself. You learn to get to see yourself, to observe yourself, get to know yourself, which most humans do. But most, I would say, that unless they particularly turn themselves to this, most of us don't know what to do with that. We see ourselves, we see the habits, we see the way that we're just pulled around, we see the self-interest that we've got, we see that we're really just in it for ourselves. But most of us don't know what to do with that knowledge, with that seeing. And if we don't know what to do with it, it begins to begins to feed, and you begin to get pulled down by it. You see stuff that you don't like, as it were. You see your habits, you see your self-interest, and you see the way that you manipulate, and the way that virtually everything that you do in your life is really coming from what's in it for me. And this very much can lead to this negativity towards yourself. And for us Western people, it is a big feature of our makeup, because we do have a lot of awareness, we do have a lot of brightness with us, and we can see this, we can begin to see ourselves more. And a lot of the stuff that we don't like, and it's so easy for us to get into that negativity towards ourselves, that we just don't like what we see. And then we fall into this duality where we start to get in conflict with ourselves, start to beat ourselves up. One part attacking, as it were, one part poking, and the other part feeling the pokes, and trying to defend, and that whole conflict of not liking ourselves can very much kick in. And I think it does become a characteristic of us Western people, because we do have this strong sense of who we are, that we very much go on this path of not liking ourselves, because we don't know what to do with what we're seeing. This is the nub of it. We see it and we get sucked into that. We see the habits that we got and the self-interest that we got, and we can begin to get in conflict with ourselves about what we see and not like ourselves. But we don't know what to do about that, and all we do is reinforce it, because we don't know what to do with self-awareness, which is what happens to as part of the human condition. But for us people who are taking an interest in our makeup, who we are, how we live with ourselves and our relationship with ourselves, this becomes a focus for us. And it's something that we have to do something about. We can't just observe it and be pulled by it and just reinforce this negativity that we can have, but rather see what we can do about this creating of dukkha for ourselves that we do. The more you look, the more you see that you are just creating more and more stuff for yourself, more and more dukkha for yourself. And this very much focuses such an important feature of our training, is that we do have to wake up to ourselves, but we do have to learn to be skillful, how to learn to be skillful with ourselves, how to learn to be skillful in life with others, but also learn to be skillful with ourselves and to see what we're doing to ourselves and to bring antidotes, all in the name of getting to know ourselves, that in time this leads to insight, that it leads to more equanimity, more of a balance with ourselves. And when we've got more of a balance with ourselves, then the waters are less turbulent. And when the waters are less turbulent, we can see in and things can begin to change. We can begin to let go of things. But we need to balance. We need to get those waters in a less turbulent way. And we know this as Dharma practitioners, that this is a very, very important feature, an area for us to focus upon. And so we have to begin to be aware that we need to turn this around, that we must stop feeding this self-negativity that we can so easily fall into. That we have a vision to go beyond, not to be a victim of ourselves. A vision that we are now beginning to lift ourselves out of this and to bring whatever skills that we need to bring as an antidote to this habit that we get that just gets us on this downward spiral. And for us, by just waking up to that and realizing that this is an important area that we must give attention to, that it's important for us to begin to do something about that, makes it really quite different than just sort of watching something and just becoming the victim and pulling ourselves down. We need to put antidotes there to bring positivity to ourselves, that when we coming to the negativity, to reflect on the human qualities and on our own qualities, because we're not bad people. All of us have good qualities. There is no way that you could do this training if you were consumed by negativity, by badness. You would be blind to the aspiration to pull yourself beyond dukkha, to be able to reflect upon yourself in a positive way, to reflect on your qualities that we've all got, the good parts that you have, and to remind yourself of these features that we have and what we can and do for others as well as for ourselves. All of this comes through learning to be aware, to learn to wake up to yourself and to see how we have to begin to turn things around. There are practices in Buddhism that will help us to do that. We don't put great store in those. We very much look upon the way that we learn to bring more positivity to ourselves, to bring that balance to ourselves, is through understanding. We learn to go beyond that conflict through getting to know ourselves. Rather than put conceptual things there, we actually do it through understanding. We learn to wake up to what we're doing to ourselves, and learn to bring the discipline, learn to say no to those habits that we've got, that when they begin to come in, when they begin to kick in, you learn to say no. You're not going there anymore. You're not reinforcing. You're turning away. And to turn yourself away from these habits. This is only possible through self-awareness, through awareness and through a commitment to turn the ship around. And I know, you know, I mentioned this before, and it's just as an example, because I'm no different than anybody else, and it's just a habit that I always had it all my life, was self-pity, and that's a big one. That's one that drags us down hugely, that we can feel. We can beat ourselves up and then feel sorry for ourselves. And that's something that I've always had it. But after, just as an example, coming to the training and getting some perspective on what this is about and what's expected of the commitment, of learning to wake up, learning to reflect, learning to think, well, there's something I can do about this, rather than being a victim all the time, as I've been all of my life. Now I can do something about this, and I could watch myself. Something would happen, somebody would say something usually. It's all about your own preciousness. Somebody would probably say something, and I would just get onto this, become so clear, this downward spiral. I could just see that you begin to feed something. I don't like myself. I'm no good. Nobody likes me. Nobody loves me. I don't like myself. Isn't life awful? Etc. And find, just observing this downward spiral, just going down and down and down and down until you feel absolutely wretched about yourself and fall into all sorts of states that you can take ages to pull yourself out from. But to wake up to that and begin to sit, and this is the thing with awareness, is that it always gives you a space before you fall into a habit. You've got a little gap, that precious gap, where you can bring a choice, where you can either just fall into the habit and indulge and feed it, or you can learn to say, no, I'm not going to do that anymore. You have to catch yourself at the top end before it grips you. As an example, for me, that was something that was very much a very common experience for me. And that's really not liking yourself. You really find it very difficult to find anything good about yourself. So you keep saying all these negative things to yourself about yourself, and then you become blind. You can't think of anything good, anything positive to say about yourself. You've lost it. You're consumed by it, and then you just go down. And then, as I say, you feel wretched, and that goes on. How long? Days and weeks, maybe. Maybe it just becomes something that just sits there. But for us, because we're using our awareness, because now we have some sort of a vision, some sort of, you want to do something about it now, rather than just indulge. I found, here we go again. No, I'm not going there. I'm not doing it. No. And these forces, come on, David. This is what you do. Let's be having you. And it's no, not doing that now. Sorry, time to change. Because I know, here I am, and I know in no time at all I'm going to be down here, and it's going to be rubbish, and I'm going to dislike myself even more than I do now. And not only dislike myself, but it's just such a horrible feeling. It's not just an intellectual thing. There's so much emotion that's wrapped up in that. And I just learned to say no. And still no. And, you know, and in time it got less and less. Why? Because it's a habit. It's a habit. And you put the habit in place. You created it. You created the fact that you don't like yourself. And when something happens, you click into that condition. When the conditions are right, when somebody presses the button, something happens. You fall into that zone and those forces all come into play, and then you buy in, and then you have to live the consequences of that habit. And that's all it is a conditioning. It is not that you are a bad person. It is because you've made yourself think that you're a bad person. You create it. And this isn't a conceptual way. This isn't about overlaying ideas about who you really are. This is about learning who you really are, seeing with understanding. And falling into that habit that I say that was very much a part of me forever. Learning to say, no, I'm not going there. And it's remarkable how quickly that thing actually changed. When it somehow that there's a part of you that sort of realizes you're not going to give up on this one, are you? So I'm going to give up. Because you just say, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not doing... No. No. No, start beating yourself up over that. Just say no. And bring that... Because you know you're coming from a place of understanding that that is a habit. You don't like yourself because it's a habit. Not because you are a bad person or an unpleasant person. It's because you created that. And in no time, actually, with that, whatever those forces were, they gave up. And I don't go there anymore. I don't. It's such a powerful negative self view, because it's a self view. That's all. It's only self view. That's all it is. If you didn't have a self view, you wouldn't have anything. There wouldn't be anything there. It's all a self view. But you have to realise that you created it. That is so important. And don't blame others. Own it. Own it. Don't blame your mother and your father and your husband and your wife and all your history. You have to own these things. And when you own them, you can then dump them. Say no. But this comes from waking up to yourself. There has to be, you have to come from a position with it. A growing knowing that now I used to be the victim. Now I'm beginning not to go there because I'm now beginning to put the blue sky in place. You may not think of it in those terms, but that's what you're doing. It's called waking up, that you're beginning to not indulge in your self-pity, not indulge in your self-view. And when you let those go, there will be a spaciousness there that becomes your blue sky, that gives you the possibility of discovering. It clears, the clouds clear, so that your blue sky can begin to shine, can become your experience. That's for everybody. I don't care if you can't put your meditation together under Krishna. I know some of you struggle. That will always be that way. In fact, we all struggle from time. None of us have got it cracked. We have good stretches, we have difficult stretches. That's how we are. But whatever that may be, there is something for all of us there. That may be only for some, but there is this training, the heart of this training is for all of us. And that is this self-awareness where you can begin to wake up to yourself. And your first stop is your relationship with yourself. That's the thing that's with you all the time. Never mind the relationships you have with others. They come and they go, and it's this and it's that. But there's one person who you never walk away from. And one person that's always with you all the time. And I don't care if you go and climb a mountain in Tibet looking for great masters, or go into forests looking for masters, to think that these are gonna do it for you. There's only always one person who you're always gonna take with you. Doesn't matter where you go, and that's yourself. And that's always your first stop, is your relationship with yourself. And when that's cool, when that's okay, not perfect, but when it's okay, then you begin to create that, the agitation. The thing begins to leaven out. So you have more of an equilibrium, an equanimity with yourself, where you're not pulling yourself right down. There you're having the environment, you're creating the environment so that you can step even deeper into understanding. It's all about equanimity, it's all about balance. It's called the middle way. So that, talking about blue skies and what the potential of our blue sky, don't feel excluded that it's something I've never been able to experience. If you come to this training and you are prepared to just turn the thing around and look at yourself and then get some sense of how you then begin to treat yourself, how you begin to move forward from it, which you've never known before. You've always been a victim. I don't know what to do. I don't know. And so you just feed and you just become even more negative. Now with our training, you should now be able to start to look, because I know this is a big feature with all of us, is our negative view of ourselves. Rather than sit there passively feeling sorry for yourself about feeling sorry for yourself, do something about it. That when you begin to catch yourself, see this conflict coming, and the familiarity around these pictures, these scenarios, and how you talk to yourself and how you view yourself, when you begin to see these come, rather than sit there and indulge and just get, learn to say no, learn to but the antidote, the biggest antidote, is, from my experience, is no, I'm not doing that anymore. It's not create a conflict by saying no, and then just go from one conflict to another. Say no. And it's almost like pulling the rug out from something that's only just beginning to rise up. No. Because you begin to see more and more that you are creating. You've got to see that you're created. Don't blame your husband and your wife and your girlfriend and your boyfriend. See that you are the manufacturer of all of these people. And the more you can see that, the more you can, right, I can do something about this. I'm making this. It's not that person coming from out there, coming in here and doing it and doing these things to me. And then you're just projecting out. Own that situation, own that person, and realize that you are creating that person. And learn skillfully, which is not one of conflict, but learn to let go, to bring that the willingness to say no to something. Because you know, in that no, in that not liking yourself, like just giving you the example with myself, with this self-pity thing, by golly, you'd enough end up wallowing in yourself. Oh, poor me. No, he loves me. Me. Oh God. And it's all around that self view. It's all around this conviction of this person who you think that you are. And you just go down and down with that. Now you're going to start turning the ship around. Learn to say no. Learn to be kind to yourself. I'm doing my best. I've got a lot of stuff to be going on with. but I'm doing my best. At least I'm trying to pull myself away from these habits, from this conflict that I got with myself. There's no need for me to keep beating myself up all the time. There's no need for me to keep thinking all these negative thoughts towards myself and seeing that duality that's going on, the way you cut yourself into all little bits and then all those little bits start bouncing off of each other, creating all the dukkha and all the negative self-view. All this is coming from that basis of, now I'm going to do something about this. See more and more that you are the creator. And that is such a big step, not just the creator, but now you're beginning to own. And now, once you own, you can now begin to say, no, I'm not gonna make that anymore. I'm the creator, now I'm not gonna create it anymore. And learn to talk to yourself in a kindly way. Be kind to yourself. Be considerate. Be forgiving towards yourself with your habits that you get caught by. Learn to like yourself. Then this begins to take the edge off of things. And when you take the edge off, you can then begin to see into what the reality of them. And the more you can see in, the more you can begin to just say, I'm not going there anymore. And that's for all of us. Never mind the blue sky. That's something that has to be looked at continually. We all need to be looking at that. The conflict that we have, the duality that we have with ourselves and the world that we create within. We all need to be looking at that, because that, by golly, that is the suffering. You don't need to be told that, but to get to know that, to understand it, to learn to let it go, and when you let it go, you will discover your true nature. It will be there waiting for you. It's always been there. So we can never ever somehow sidestep ourselves and think that, I don't like that. Let's go to the blue sky. And just pretend I don't exist. Important to reflect upon that and not get carried away by lots of lovely ideas. But do come back down to the very basics of what this training is about. It's about waking up to yourself, getting to know yourself, getting to understand who you are, who this person is, how it all works, how it's all put together. And when you see that, things will change. You will change. You will no longer say yes to things. You will start to say no. In the same way that you change things in your life. And I know there's a number of you going through, already looking at your daily life, your life that you have, and beginning to question things in your life. And beginning to see that, actually, do I need to be like this in order for me to get to know myself, to get that peace, to get that openness? Do I need to be so caught up with so many things as I have been? Your priorities shift, they change. You look and you say, no, I don't need that anymore. Because that's not conducive to my happiness, but to getting to know myself. So therefore I want to change that. I'm not going to do that anymore. And so you don't do, so you said, no, I'm not doing that, because it's not conducive to me getting to know myself, to my happiness, to my understanding. It gets in the way. These things get in the way. And I know this is one of the first things that happens to you, because it's such a crude thing and such an obvious first thing. Very often one of the first things you bump into, and it's actually something you can do about on a physical level, actually just change things so that you create more space for yourself. Because you know, the more space you've got, the more this training becomes doable, and it's more conducive and more ideal for you to find that peace in that space that we all crave. And you're doing it there, but you've also got to do it on a more subtle level, on a more far more challenging level. That's easy. However difficult you might find doing that, that in itself can take a lot of doing. But you've got to do it on the inside too. You see that the stuff that you're caught up with is not conducive to giving you space. So you have to learn to say no. You can't just sit there and watch it. You know what to do. Now you know what you can do about it. Before you didn't know what to do, before you were the victim. Now you know. Now you're beginning to know. I can do something about this. And so you need to bring attention to what are habits. Believe me, these are nothing but habits. There's nothing concrete. There's nothing indestructible about any of this. Any of the stuff that you carry, any of the stuff that possesses you, that dominates your life, nothing is indestructible. It all is, because it all comes from your own creation. Habits that come from your own creation. Therefore, you can turn, give your attention and begin to say no. No longer feeding, because they need to be fed. You have to react. You have to feed them in order for them to live. When you no longer feed them, they will die. And so much of that is centered on your relationship with yourself. It's like the first stop. It's the first thing. Then you go on to other people and things. And also yourself still, of course. But if you've got that negative self-view about yourself, it's the biggest blockage that we can put up. Therefore, we need to look at it and see how we can make inroads by waking up to how it's structured, how it's in place, and how you perpetuate it. You perpetuate it, and you have to learn to say no. Learn to say no with conviction, with commitment, with staying with things. No. Stay with, but also stroke yourself. Be nice to yourself. Maybe you've never done that. Forgive yourself. I'm trying my best. I'm doing my best. Give me time, things, and work through things and create that environment. Then we can begin to go beyond that very, very nasty aspect of samsara, of that self-dislike. Maybe you've got comments to make on that. There's not many of us are free of that one, to one degree or another. Some of us are more consumed. If it's really consumed, you can't do this. If you're really... But we have it in different degrees. And I could just give you an example of me, because I know... Because that was such a... Well, it was such an example to me. Right at the beginning when I came to this training, I can actually do something about this. I haven't got to stand there and just wait to be sucked into something again. I can actually do something about it. And that was such a model that I showed worked, that I could actually change the stream of a part of who I could change the stream by waking up to it seeing what it is and what it's doing to me, and just saying, I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to be pulled, sucked in by that anymore. No. And then watch it just disintegrate. I thought, blimey, that's how it works, is it? Okay. So then you take it to the next thing. And the next, and you see that it's just a process. It's called waking up. That you see that you can do something about it in a dharmic way, through understanding. Then the thing begins to settle. You begin to settle within yourself. And when you settle, then you are coming to that openness, that spacious, where the Dharma can, where you can break through. That's how it works. So much of it, and I don't think I'm just talking for myself, is that we just really feel so damn sorry for ourselves so often. We do. It just feels so, oh, me, woo, woo. And we're like this. And that's what it is a lot of the time. It really is. I know it's a self-view, but it's just, that seems to be so much of the characteristics around it. Pull yourself out of them. It's amazing. It's amazing how it, because like I say, when it comes to it, you're not actually dealing with anything substantial. There isn't any. Well, I mean, I can say there's nothing there. You won't believe me. But even if it is there for you, believe me, you think it's something that's rooted like one of these trees, that just nothing will ever knock it over. There isn't anything that's in you that is rooted. However much it convinces you, there is nothing that's got roots that you can't pull out. And the more you see, the more you see. It's just nothing but a deception that you completely buy into. Now you're getting out of it. Now you're not going to play that anymore. And when you do, then you get the space. Then when you come to your cushion, there's nothing in the way. You find who you really are, and you come into that place that has no parameters. Yeah. That's how it works. That's how we go beyond suffering. Yes, well, learn to say no. See it. See these forces pulling you. And do your best. This is the bearing with, to stay with, like a mirror. This is the ideal, like a mirror. You see it, and it's pulling you. And there's all these mental things that are popping up, trying to get you to follow them, sucked in. But you have a brightness there. You have awareness there. And you observe them, and they're pulling on you. I mean, it's a physical thing, because there's a lot of emotion there. There's pictures and thoughts, but there's also emotion. But there's a part of you that's not a part of all of that. And that's what you've got to discover. Because if you don't discover it, then all you are is this thing. There has to be, this is what awareness does. This is self-awareness. This is the jewel. And the more awareness you have there, the more you can say no. But that doesn't mean that you have to get, if you get in conflict with it, then you are feeding it, you are acknowledging it. By not getting in conflict with it, you're leaving it alone. It's like watching a film, although it's much more than that, but in that sense that it plays itself out and you don't feed it. And if you don't feed it, that whatever, you can always take refuge in the law of impermanence, because whatever it is, However big these things are, if you're prepared to stick with it and stay with it, it will go into change. It may come back, but everything is fluxing. It's not permanent. Like, you think this is here permanently and ain't ever going to shift and I'm going to be like this for the rest of my life. Well, if you stay with it, you will discover that that's not true. It will go into change. It will ebb away. And okay, it may come back, but you'll have a gap, you'll have a space, and it won't be with you all of the time. You can see that. But that's the ideal, is that when you can just bear with it, this is the bearing with. This is the Kshanti, the quality of Kshanti. You bear it with patience and you endure it. That's what the word means. You're patient, so you let it run its... You let it run its course and you bear with it because it is a physical experience. This is not just a nice passive thing that you're looking at. You are being consumed by it. That's the ideal. And you sit and you'll get that and you'll get that emotional pull on you. That's the emotion is used to going in this particular way. That's the habit that it's got. A habit that it's got of going. So you say no to it, and very often, and you experience, so many of you experience it, oh, you get this thing down here, below your navel. Well, that's it. That's the heart, that's your emotional energy that's used to running this way and running that, and you'll say no. And so it builds up. And as long as it stays there and it doesn't start coming up through your body, stay there, it can be extremely unpleasant. Carry it around in your life, stay with it, and see what happens to that eventually. I don't know, a day, a week, I've had these things around for weeks. When it's like, I don't know what it's like to be pregnant, but I'll tell you, it couldn't be a lot worse than this. But you stay with it, and you know, you get faith in the thing that you know that it's not going to be there forever, and so often, just to show you that it's energy, it's the life force, it's who you are, that gets polluted, it gets caught and polluted, and somehow thinks that it's a person and it's this and it's that. But if you deny it that habit, very often. You stay with it, you stay. Sometimes you wake up one day and it's not there anymore. But sometimes it can build up and it can go like a balloon and you can be bathed in rapture because it's turned over. It's tried, and it's given up and it's reverted back to its true condition, which is the life force. And then what's happened there, possibly something that you've been holding on to, something that's a part of your habit, maybe it doesn't come again. Or if it does, maybe it doesn't have the same. And so it diminishes and diminishes. And then it... And what you're not doing anything, are you? You're just staying with it. That's the ideal. So if you can end up carrying something around here, then you know that you're containing your habits. Your habits are the habits that have emotion wrapped up in them. And you stay with them and you stay with it, and you stay with it and you stay with it, and you stay with it until it goes into change, as it will. Energy has to keep moving. You cannot keep energy still for long. It's got to do something. And if it can't go this way, then it will go that way. It's got to do something. It can't stagnate. That's how it works on that. But in the meantime, but you can have other things that come. But you can enter it. Well, you could enter a dialogue, like I'm saying. Not you say, look, you know, I'm not. I don't want to do this anymore. Not in a conflicting way. You've got to be so careful not to get into conflict, you see. But in a kindly way. Bring kindness to it. Stroke it. Say, look, actually, you know, you're my best friend, actually. We're friends. Mm. We're not enemies. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy, as has been in the past. Actually, you're my friend. You're my best friend. Actually, you are me. You're not that person over there who I always think you are. You're not my mother and my father, actually, in all my history. Actually, you and me. Put your arms around it. Embrace it. Learn to like it. Learn to love it. Forgive. So I'm doing my best. Let's be friends. Then you disempower it. You know, if I want to fight you, you've got to fight me back, haven't you? If I punch you, you punch me, then I punch you, and you put. That's how you have a fight. But if I go up to you and say, come on, and you sit there, then there's no fight, is there? And you're like, oh, fuck God's sake. And then I walk away from you. Go look for somebody else to punch. That's how it works. But the truth is that we're always in conflict with us. We're always fighting ourselves. You look at you, you're horrible. Yeah, look at you. You're like, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. You're rubbish. Like this. So you keep it going. You've got to wake up to that. And stillness, when you learn to be still with this training, you begin to see it for what it is. Before you could never see it because you never had any stillness. You never had any quiet, any space to be able to observe it and see it, get to know it. This is what this will do. This will bring you to that place. It will bring the stillness, but it will also bring you very directly with your stuff because you're no longer dealing with it in the way that it will come to you and it will be there. And that's the challenge that you've got. Can you deal with it skillfully, dharmically, or are you just going to play the old game and keep it going and probably drag yourself down till you feel like a pile of rubbish and you wonder what the hell's all this about? Why am I even bothering to be here? Learn to be skillful with it. Learn to trust. Learn to trust the Dharma. Learn to trust the way that it works. And that's where patience comes in. That comes from trust. That actually, to stay with it, that ain't going to be like, this monster is not going to sit in front of me forever. But actually, if I just leave it, or if I can just begin to make friends with it, you disempower. It won't have that that grip. And you're coming from a place of understanding that you are the one who's creating these things. This is your business. It's nobody else's business. You're no longer blaming others in your life and in your history. You're no longer blaming them. This is my world. This is my creation. Now I'm gonna do something about it. Enough is enough. And the more that conflict begins to fade, that you go beyond this self-loathing, this very very sharp aspect of being blind, and the more that can begin to settle, the more you can get to see yourself. It feeds itself. It's the polishing thing. You polish. You just take another step into seeing who you are. There's that clarity, just that little bit more each time. And it's just this cyclical thing. It's a polishing. You just come round, and then when that turns over, when that falls away, when that conflict, it gives you a little bit more clarity and confidence and inner strength, because it's all about strength. It's all about energy. This is not a mental thing. It's a physical thing, emotional thing. It's an emotional journey. And then that becomes your, so that you can bear with, so that it gives you the inner strength. So the next one that comes along, you can bear with it that much more because you've got that inner strength. You've been there before. You know how it works. You can trust the process. Just stay with it. Stay with it. Just leave it alone. Stay with it. And trust it. Because if you stay with it, it will change. And then if it changes, who knows, it may not come back again. But if it does, maybe just an edge has been knocked off, and then another edge and another edge. Who knows? Nobody can say. But it is about, you know, when you stand back, as I've said over and over, this is about making friends with yourself. It really is nothing more than that. But it's a dharmic friendship. It's not a worldly friendship. You're coming from a place of understanding, because you know that you are the creator. You know this is, you know the reason why you're here, why this is here, why this thing is here. You know why it's there. And therefore, you have that knowledge, that understanding. Therefore, you know, you can then get to grips with it, as it were. You know the way, how you go beyond that, because you are creating it. And now you decided you're going to uncreate it. You're not going to pull it apart, but you're going to let it fall apart. There's a difference. Because if you pull it apart, who's the one who's doing the pulling? There's conflict there. But if you don't feed it, it will, like an ice cream in the snow. The snow, when the sun comes up, it begins to melt. And that's how the self goes into change. It begins to melt. And what you're doing, you're seeing the game that you played with yourself, and you no longer play. You decided you're not playing the game anymore. And when you have that clarity, the more you have that clarity, the more you can come to to what is your true nature. Because that stillness never gets touched by any of this. It's there all the time, that spaciousness. That thing that's beyond your creation is there permanent. It's permanent. It's not impermanent. It is literally permanent. Even when you die, it is still there. And the more that you can let go of this turmoil, the more you come in contact, you begin to get an inkling. You begin to, maybe there is something beyond me, you know, there's something else going on here. Then you can, it's, but the key is your relationship with yourself, is that you have to learn the dharmic skills of doing, not the worldly skills, of moving things around, moving it from there to there. Because you move it from there to there, sooner or later that's going to show its head again. The worldly way is very easy. The dharmic way is, well, you've got to learn it. We're not taught it. You've got to learn it. And then you learn to put it in place bit by bit, which is immensely challenging, immensely, immensely challenging. Because your habits are so powerful, that define this ego, and the grip of all of that is so immense. But we learn skillfully how to bear with it, so that slowly it begins to unravel, begins to fade. And that's why I encourage you people. You know, you come to me, you know. I haven't got 10,000 cures, 10,000 medicines for all your ills when you come to me. I can only give you one medicine. And I just tell you to stay with it. What else? You know, if you want 10,000 ways, go somewhere else, go and see your therapist and all your, there's plenty of stuff going on in the West now. If you want, there's millions of ways that you can be dealing with things. But the dharmic way is, there's only one way, truly, truly one way.